Hey teachers, if you're tired of not knowing how to create your lessons that reach EL newcomers in your classroom in a way that your content is actually accessible to them, and you no longer want to be limited by the constant push to move your ELs forward without concrete understanding behind why simple accommodations in your already existing lessons make all the difference for the newcomers, I have something exciting to share with you. I have compiled every masterclass I have ever recorded on how to teach and reach English learners in a regular education classroom. I am talking strategies, how-tos, and ready-made resources, and have created a digital masterclass library called Light the Way to EL Teaching Success, where you can get instant access to 10 practical and actionable videos, 8 done-for-you lessons, and 1 professional development certificate for 3 hours of your time. If you are looking for practical PD that you can do on your own time and gain all the knowledge you need about teaching English learners from the comfort of your home, Light the Way to EL Teaching Success Digital Masterclass Library is for you. To learn more and to join, click the link in the show notes, and I cannot wait to see you inside. You're listening to episode 98 of the ESL Teaching Podcast. And today's episode is episode 2 of the 3-part series, which I called You Can't Buy Language at Walmart, 3 Essential but Overlooked Details of Teaching Language to EL Newcomers and Beyond. In the previous episode, I talked about the stages of language acquisition and the most important aspect of learning any language, which is time. If you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend going back and tuning in. I will have it linked in the show notes. And today, I wanted to take you a step further and talk about the language proficiency levels. Different states use different assessment tools to determine where on the English language learning spectrum the students are, but nonetheless, it is crucial for all educators to know this information if we want to help our multilingual learners progress and succeed in the academic environment at school. So in today's episode, I will share some information that will get you started on this journey. You will hear about the types of English learners, what proficiency levels they are, and why teachers should use proficiency-based scaffolds in their classroom. So without further ado, let's get to the episode. And welcome to the ESL Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Yeva Grossless, otherwise known as Simply Yeva, and I am so thankful that you tuned in. I'm looking forward to sharing both my knowledge and experience on this podcast, as well as that of my fellow teachers. Hello, hello, everyone. If you listened to my previous episode about language acquisition stages, you have probably realized how passionate I am about language acquisition and meeting our multilingual students where they are. I always like to remember this. We must look at the existing situation, the present moment, at what is right now. Otherwise, we get lost in the shoulda, coulda, woulda world. Whenever we say that something should be a certain way, emphasis on the word should, it means frequently that it is not our idea, but something that was taught to us, told to us, or even imposed on us. As an example, in real life, statements like, I should lose weight, or I should read more, or I should watch less TV, or scroll less on Facebook or Instagram. While these statements make a good point, right? Frequently, they are not what we want or are in the frame of mind to do right now. Same with teaching. The students should be at a certain level. The students should know this by now. English learners have been in the country for a year. They should know English. Now, the fact of the matter is that this puts us in the state of perpetual anxiety that we are not doing enough. In real life, from constantly worrying about what we eat or feeling guilty for not reading or for scrolling on social media. And in education, we're constantly questioning ourselves if we are doing the right thing by our students who should be somewhere where they're not in our minds. What if we took a look at what actually is, as in what is the current situation? What is the actual thing that is happening right now? Again, from a personal standpoint, what situation am I in that makes me want to read less and scroll more? And from a professional point of view, where are my students language-wise right now in this time frame, in this week, let's say? So this is where language proficiency levels come into play. Before we dive into the actual proficiency, let's talk a little bit about the types of English learners, as this will help us understand why it is important to consider their proficiency levels. So first of all, we have newcomers. And there are two types of newcomers, and each of these types will require a slightly different teaching approach. So there are newcomers with uninterrupted schooling, and these are the students who are new to the country and have been, that means that they have been less here than 1 year, and they may be starting to learn English from scratch, or they may have studied some English as a foreign language in their country. These students typically have strong literacy skills in their first language, which is a great asset when learning English and in their overall academic situation. The other group of newcomers is with limited or interrupted schooling. So while they too have been in the US less than a year, they had an interrupted or limited educational experience in their country of origin. And these students come from more complex situations and maybe refugees, migrant children, unaccompanied youth, to name just a few. The limits of their education in their first language, as well as their background stories, add an additional layer to their access to academics and learning English. Then we have regular ELL students who are progressing towards their English proficiency and in their academics. Depending on when they arrived in the US and on the grade level, these are the students that have been here for more than a year, most likely more than 2 years. And they need and are hopefully receiving language development instruction and will likely be reclassified in a few years. Then we move on to experienced multilingual learners, and these fall into two groups as well. So the students who have been here in the US schools for 4 or 5 years and have been receiving ELD support but are not progressing towards mastery as a result of difficulties in instruction, whether it's literacy or English language learner instruction, and they are at risk in staying in the program for an extended period of time. And there are those who have been in the US schools for over 6 years and their conversational English is fluent and they sound native-like, but they have been stuck at one academic proficiency level without moving forward. So now that we have a little overview of these students, let's get to the proficiency levels. There are different assessments to determine a student's English language proficiency level. Many states use WIDA, actually 42 states. I looked it up before recording this podcast. And WIDA is an organization that provides educators with resources and instructional tools that help support teachers, multilingual learners. Now, WIDA offers identification, placement, progress, and achievement assessments. And in all of them, students are assessed in all four language domains. So they receive a test in listening and speaking and reading and writing, and that helps determine where they are at that given moment language-wise. Other states use different assessments. So for example, the state of California uses LPAC for identification and monitoring of EL students' progress. Texas uses TELPAS. New York uses their own assessment. Mississippi and Connecticut use LAS links, and so on. Now, since I am most familiar with the WIDA assessments, I will be sharing their proficiency levels here. However, no matter how they're called, the proficiency levels are similar across all assessments. So WIDA specifically distinguishes levels 1 through 6. Now, let's take a closer look at them. And I think if you listened to the language acquisition episode, you will probably see correlation between the levels of proficiency and also the language acquisition steps. So level 1 is called entering. So students at this level typically are either in the silent period or are able to utter 1 or 2 word phrases. They are also able to respond to learned commands. They are able to demonstrate what they learned in their content area classes graphically, but they need lots and lots and lots of repetition, lots and lots and lots of linguistic support in the most simple way possible. Level two is called beginning. Students at this level are typically able to speak in short and simple sentences. They understand much more than they're able to produce in their content level classes. And when they do produce language, whether spoken or written, it will be with grammatical and syntactic imperfections, as I call them. As I mentioned, their content area understanding is developing and they need time to process before responding. Level three is called developing. So students at this level are able to use general language with quite some ease and even some more specific content area related words. And as they have been exposed to the English language for a while now, they're able to write in more, like, let's say, compound and even more complex sentences, especially when given prompts and other supports. Level four is called expanding. Students at this level, especially in WIDA, are using not only more content area specific, but also some technical vocabulary that is specific to that particular subject area. They are much more comfortable at expressing themselves in more complex ways, and the grammatical and syntactic errors are minimal. So also, depending on the state, this is the level of students that are about ready to exit the ELD support services. Level five is called bridging. Similar to level four, these students are even more comfortable with using the language in a variety of contexts, are able to understand subtle humor and manipulate language in more complex ways. In my state, this is the level where the students would have exited the EL program before they reached level five. And level six is called reaching. This is where the students' English language proficiency is very comparable to that of their native speaker peers. By now, you're probably able to see that a newcomer, whatever their school experience, is likely at proficiency level 1-2. Regular ELs who are making expected progress are likely at proficiency levels 2.5-4. And experienced multilinguals fall between proficiency levels 3 and 4 as well. Not all ELs are at the same place at the same time language-wise, and that is why it is so important to take a pause and see where they actually are, not where they should, could, or would be. And this is why scaffolding your instruction based on student proficiency level is essential. The term scaffolding in teaching refers to how the content is delivered. So just like in construction, for example, scaffolding is necessary to support the students at the level they are at, and it will be gradually removed or tweaked as they are making progress. Scaffolding by proficiency levels does not mean that the students are not expected to be held to high standards. It simply means that we are helping them get there by acknowledging where they are. Here's an example. Say you're teaching a lesson on short stories and you have a newcomer in your class. Now, expecting the newcomer to read a short story in English, annotate and pick literary elements would be unreasonable. It only sets you and the student up for frustration and really doesn't give you much valid information. What if the student could read that same story in their first language? What if you could pre-teach key concepts and vocabulary that the student needs to know and can then label or match or point to so that you can see whether they understood or not? What if the student can graphically represent the main idea or theme which would allow for higher order thinking to kick in? This is just one example of how a content area teacher can incorporate scaffolding in their lessons. Presenting information in a way that students can access at their level while at the same time challenging them to move forward is a skill that can be learned and a form of art of sorts. When I work with teachers in school districts, this is exactly what we look at. We pinpoint the struggles in their unique situations. We identify the causes of why students and teachers might be struggling in the classroom, and from there, we craft a plan that works for their particular classroom in their particular district. If you would like to learn more about how I help your teachers and students, book a free 30-minute consultation, Lead ELs to Progress with me, and leave with more clarity and confidence about teaching your multilingual students. To book a call, go to my website, simplyyeva.com/lead, or follow the link in the show notes. And that is all for today. I shared a lot of information with you in this episode, and here's a little recap. Number one, there are different types of English learners, ranging from newcomer to experienced multilinguals, and there is no one-size-fits-all teaching approach for them. Number two, there are 6 proficiency levels that learners fall into. And number three, in order to reach students at their proficiency level, using appropriate instructional scaffolds is a must. As always, any questions or takeaways from this episode, send me a message on Instagram or shoot me an email. I am always happy to hear from you. Thank you for listening, and until next time. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard today, be sure to do 2 things. First, make sure to subscribe to the ESL Teaching Podcast so you don't miss an episode. And second, leave a positive review wherever you listen, on iTunes, Spotify, or any other platform. Positive reviews will improve the chances of this podcast to be discovered in the feed and help our fellow ESL ELL teachers. And of course, there's a third thing. If you aren't following me on social media yet, come join me on Instagram at SimplyYevaESL, Facebook, SimplyYeva, or connect with me on my website, simplyyeva.com. Thanks again, and until next time.